Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, baby! We have new rejoin music.
New music, yo.
It's from Gwen. Neither one of us know how to pronounce her last name, but she's very nice. She works in the office here. Wonderful person.
Gwen Heidinger.
Heidinger. This is unbelievable. She gave us a whole album that
you
we're
are so happy about this.
I am.
You've been asking for months for me to change the music.
The elevator
years.
Music was just too much.
I was in high school when you were asking me to change the music, and we finally got it. And we got it internally. This Gwen's is music is great.
Gwen. It's Gwen, not Gwen. Gwen Heidinger.
I'm sorry. I was excited.
That's okay. I didn't know Heidinger. You didn't know Gwen.
Yes, I did.
No, you said Gwen.
It's my sinuses that are bothering me.
You and I really need some therapy. This has been a bad week for us arguing, but enough of that. Chris Hoke, Super Bowl champion, multi-time Super Bowl champion, might I add, is on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, and there he is. He's also on 93.7
hey.
The Fan on our YouTube channel. Hokey, I'm sorry to bog you down with our bickering here, myself and Limits.
Well, listen, you both just need to make up. Kiss and make up. Let's go. Gwen or Gwen, whatever it is, it's
yeah,
still,
right.
He's getting it close. It kind of reminds me of when I was playing and, you know, my first start and Coach Cower called me Chris Hokey. He thought my name was Chris Hokey, right? And somebody kind of just told me, listen, Coach, his name's Chris Hoke, not Hokey. And I just told everybody, listen, as long as he signs my checks, I'm cool. You can call me whatever you want.
Yeah, right? Signs your checks
call
and gets you in the game.
Want.
Yeah.
Were there, that's it, brother.
Were there guys in your locker room that bickered even out of fun? Was there a pair like it used to be with the
oh,
old?
There was always bickering. Larry Foote was always bickering with somebody. I mean, he was like the ultimate bickerer, right? He loved to argue with people, debate with people. I think his number one guy to debate with was Joey Porter, senior. Those guys would always kind of go back and forth. But it was always Larry Foote and somebody.
Yeah, we have that here, unfortunately. All right. You told Limits, and Limits is efforting this. Did Dulac have in his chat this week that what did he have about Pickens? Huh? That's what I need to know right now.
It was on the bottom line.
What did it say? That's what I'm looking for here.
He said that he does not anticipate that the Steelers and George Pickens will have a contract done before next season.
So he would go into
something
his final
that,
year. Yeah. Okay, here it is. I don't think you'll see any Pickens extension handed out before the 25 season. What do you make of that, Hokie? What do you make of the whole Pickens situation here? It seems like other teams are baiting him into hurting the Steelers with silly plays.
Absolutely. There's a few things there with that. Well, first of all, it could be a ploy just to get him to stop with these antics, right? Listen, we're not going to extend you with all of this. You know, it's one thing to get a penalty during a play, a holding penalty or some kind of penalty. But when you have post-play penalties for foolish things, those are hard to stomach. And so, hey, let's stop with those sayings. Let's grow up. You're hurting the team. And so that could be some kind of strategy to work that. I don't know. But I think the Steelers just want to see that he was going to grow up. Because a lot of times with guys that are super talented but have a tough time controlling their emotions or controlling their behavior, when you give them a lot of money, big-time money, it just sets them off. And then it's tough to control those guys. And so I think that they're trying to see him really show that he's grown up. The other thing you talked about was the on-field antics. And listen, I think a lot of people will say this. I don't think I'm out of line by saying that it's got to stop. Those are hurting the team. Whether you think it was a bad call or not, whether you think it was a point or shooting a gun, the reality is the referees are watching George Pickens. And if it looks anything like it's out of line or borderline, going to be, you know, crossing the rules, they're going to throw the flag. And it's like anything, right? When you start to become a repetitive abuser of the rule and breaking the rule, breaker of the rule, they're going to watch you every time, and you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, man, I hear that. How common is that in football? And is it more common at different positions where guys are trying to bait you by verbally saying stuff and doing stuff? Did that happen along the
There's no question about it. Listen, there's no question about it. Teams know that George Pickens can't control his emotions. Now, the guy's a freakish talent. I mean, the guy might be the most talented receiver in the NFL. Let's be honest. The guy is absolutely talented. It is undebatable how good he is. The reality is he struggles to control his emotions, and he's got to get control of that. And players know, listen, if you rib him, if you talk trash to him, if you bait him, he's going to respond. And it's the old adage. You know this. The old adage is it's not the first guy, it's the second guy that gets the penalty, right? And so they know they can goad him into something. He's gonna respond, and he can't fall into that. He can't become that guy. Coach Tomlin always says, don't be the guy. He is the guy right now when it comes to being baited and getting personal foul penalties, unsportsmanlike penalties.
So who talks to him? Do the captains talk to him? If you were in the locker room, you know, in your position, would you have had a word with him? Like, who does that?
It's different players. I think in this locker room, I bet you it's Russ Wilson, right? It seems like Broderick Jones has got his ear. Now, Broderick Jones is you know, I think he's matured a lot this season. You watch his growth, and I think Coach Tomlin, again, showing his – just his great coaching ability to say, hey, I see this guy where he can go. And, yeah, you know, he's getting a lot of flack early in the season, but he's grown a lot. So you saw in the game, Broderick Jones bombed both on sportsmanlike penalties, getting in his ear, talking to him. But to me, it's a guy like Russ Wilson, who's a leader. You see that George Pickens really respects him. Coach Tomlin, he has a great way to relate to players. You see that in the Hard Knocks, right? And I'm sure we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
You see how he's able to pull guys in, put his arm around them. These guys love him. He's just real with people. He is genuine, good and bad. He'll say things to people that you might not like, but at least you know where you stand with Coach Tomlin, and these guys respect him, and he has a good way of being able to communicate that. So I would say Coach Tomlin and Russ Wilson.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Super Bowl champ Chris Hoke with me via video. You can watch on YouTube. You can go right to our website, 937thefan.com. Get hooked up there and get a look at Hokie in his office there. Look at that. A little framed Hokie jersey right behind you. What else is in that
That's
office?
Right. I got that. I got that one picture over here on the side. You can't see it, of us all kneeling down the locker room praying before the AFC Championship game against the Patriots. Remember
yeah,
that one?
Yeah, yeah.
With Jerome and Troy and Coach Cower and all the guys, all the fellas. I got two Super Bowl trophies right here.
Ooh.
The replicas that we had from Super Bowl 40 and 43. And then somewhere in this room, I won't tell you where, are my Super Bowl rings.
Mm.
So what a camera.
We should do the show from your house one day, Hokie. I'd love to.
I'd love to have you at my house.
With a catered lunch, I think would be wonderful. Limits, are you in on that?
From Salem's.
100%
from
Salem's. I want to be there. Exactly. From Salem's would be great. You mentioned Hard Knocks. I have an offbeat question for you because you also mentioned Broderick Jones. I thought one really funny moment there. They're in a huddle. It looked like a break in the action, and Russ said something, I think called a play, and then went into like a speech. And Broderick Jones speaks up, and he says, man, I love it when you give us the play and then go right into the inspirational speech. And everybody started cracking up, and Russell did too. First of all, I thought that was a good sign with Broderick, that he seems relaxed. He seems like he's having fun now and seems to be playing better. But also, how many times during a game would you guys have little crack-ups, like humor happening during a game?
oh, listen, you're talking about it's a break in the play, right? And so you have those moments, right? If it was in the huddle and they were calling the huddle and running to the line of scrimmage, I don't think it'd be time for that. But there was a break in the play, and it does show. It does show that he's not uptight, that he's playing loose, that he's having fun. They're winning. That makes you have a lot more fun. Listen, you can make mistakes and win, and it's easy to deal with your mistakes and go on. When you're losing and make mistakes, those things compound, and it's very, very difficult. So to me, it's great to see that and see that levity in those moments, meaning that they're confident and they're feeling good about themselves.
Who would crack you up on your team during the game?
Oh, gosh. You know, there were quite a few guys, but you know, one of those guys, it's just – one of the guys that talked, again, I go back to, you know, Larry Foote was a guy who talked a lot. Joy Porter talked a lot. Those guys were fun. A lot of the guys were quiet. Like James Ferry would say a little bit here and there, but he was more of a quiet guy. Casey didn't say much. Aaron Smith obviously didn't say much. I mean, the guys were just more, you know, Troy Polamalu wouldn't say much. Those are guys who were just more business guys. But you have guys now on this huddle that in the defensive huddle that talk to here at the Steelers. I'm sure Joy Porter Jr. likes to talk a little bit. And say things, and it's fun to have that kind of that talk and that levity in the huddle.
Troy did have a playful side, though. I specifically remember you guys walking from the bubble back into your locker room, and he ran up behind you and jumped on your back. I don't know why I remember that, but I do.
No, and he always had fun. I mean, he would do things like, for example, like Chet Furman. Remember Cheddar? He was the guy that was kind of Cowher's right-hand guy, and he always had the horn. There's always a guy who's designated to blow the horn between periods.
Yeah.
Right? And so he was the guy that would blow the horn, and Troy would take some tape, and he'd put it up in a little ball, and he would try to stick that thing into the horn, right?
Yeah.
So when Chet would go to blow the horn, it wouldn't blow. And one time, and it was always this, Starkey, Cowher would look at his watch, and when the timer would roll down, he'd point. He would point to Chet, and then Chet would blow the horn. So Troy goes over and sticks this tape in the horn so the air wouldn't come out, the noise wouldn't come out. And BC, Bill Cowher, points over at Chet. Chet goes to blow the horn, and no sounds goes out. Hell's damn it, Chet, blow that horn! You know, and we were laughing so hard, you know, and that just shows Troy. I mean, Troy was always having a good time, a playful side. And people loved him for it. But on the field, he didn't talk much. He just played.
Speaking of all that, Hokie, one more quick question about prep work for these games. Is it helpful? Is it helpful to have, you know, they turn on the noise? It's simulated crowd noise during practice. Does that help? Is that useful? And then also, if the weather conditions, like if it happens to snow a little bit this week, Is it beneficial to take you guys outside and work in that, or more beneficial to get quality work in indoors?
Okay, so first of all, you're talking about the sound. Let's talk about the sound and working indoors and the weather. The sound, yes, because you have to learn how to communicate with signals, right? And if you're not, you don't simulate with the sound, Starkey, what happens is that you don't use your signals when you're talking, and then you get in the game and you're on the defense, so that the crowd, Steeler Nation, is loud and proud, and then the offense, you know, can't make their calls, but defensively it's tough, and then you don't use your signals during the week, you're going to struggle to communicate, you're going to have broken plays, they're going to have big plays, and it's going to turn into touchdowns. So you've got to be able to turn that, crank that up, and make sure that guys are communicating with hand signals. When you talk about the weather, Here's the reality. It's tough to go outside when it's really, really cold and the ground is frozen, right? Because you go out there, you're paying these guys a lot of money. You need them to get to Sunday. And if a guy goes out there like a TJ Watt and he's coming off the edge and he plants on his outside foot and he overextends and pulls a groin, then you're in trouble. One of the things that I liked when I was playing is we'd go on the indoor, but then Coach Cowher would open up the big doors and he would turn on the fans and he'd blow all the cold air in. And so, you know, you've been in the indoor facility, Starkey, where on each end, you'd open up those big old garage doors and the wind would come flying through there and it would be freezing. It'd be sometimes colder in the indoor than it was outside. You want to have that because you want it to be a winning edge for you. You want the weather because you're a cold weather team. You want the weather to be something that benefits you, not the and not be a wash, because it just if you practice in it, You have the ability to, okay, I can do this in the cold, and you can think in those elements and in those moments.
Back to Pickens. Once a guy shows that he's susceptible to being baited into things, does he normally change, Hokie? Will that come with maturity, or is that just a hope?
I you have to hope that he changes. Listen, he knows. He's been in the league 3 years. He knows right, what's right and what's wrong, what's going to get flagged, what's not going to get flagged. It's just doing it, right? Caring enough to not drop the ball on a defender, you know, not to do things. And understanding that the refs are watching you. They have their eyes on you every single play, post play. They're going to watch to see how you respond, and they're going to throw that flag. And I think they're doing that hoping that you'll just stop. You know, it's like in a game when people want to emphasize some kind of penalty, and so they throw the flag early, or there's some rough housing and late hit. They're going to throw the flag early to say, hey, we're not going to have that this game. So the hope is that you emphasize that. You throw a flag and say, hey, we're done, and this guy will move on and say, hey, they're going to call it tight this week. And not do these things, but he has not learned that yet.
Chris Hoke on the Fan Hotline. He's also on video here at 93.7thefan.com. Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Hokie, back to Broderick now. Is he playing well? Is he starting to look more like the guy that you expected him to be?
Yeah, I think he's playing well. I think he's doing a great job in the run game. He's getting great movement. He's not giving up a lot of in the passing game. He's not giving up the sacks that he did. He was not making those mistakes that he was making early. And I think you're just seeing confidence that's growing. You know, sometimes what happens, Starkey, is you have a couple bad plays, and even the great ones, even the great players, their confidence can wane a little bit. It can ebb and flow throughout a game. It can ebb and flow throughout a season. It can ebb and flow from year to year. I mean, look at the great kicker from Baltimore, right? And so, I mean, the confidence is a really fragile thing. And if you can get that back, you can really shine. But if you lose your confidence, you know, you can really, really struggle. And I think Broderick Jones needed to get his confidence back. And Coach Tomlin was the perfect coach for him because he didn't waver. He believed in him. And he made it clear, listen, he's our right tackle. It's not going to change. Stop. Right? And he was very clear on that. And I think when you as a player, and I know this, when you have a head coach who not only – you know, privately expresses confidence in you, but then publicly to those that are criticizing you, he publicly expresses confidence in you. That goes a long way to helping you regain your confidence, and you're seeing his confidence grow each and every week. And he's playing good football right now.
Chris Hoke, brought to you by McVay Heating and Plumbing. All right, Tomlin was the star of Hard Knocks. He just was. I compared it, you know, they opened with the four coaches addressing their teams. Three of them sounded like typical football coaches. One guy sounded like a movie star. I mean, he's just compelling, Hokie. He can be sitting there eating Fritos and he's compelling. Pony said something to the effect like, if they don't win that game, then he's not the star. I don't know, man. I think he's just as compelling, win or lose. That doesn't mean I defend some of these recent years or things like Matt Canada, whatever. But Tomlin as a personality, us getting to see him behind the scenes, win or lose, is unbelievably compelling. He's just a compelling figure, Hokie. Do you agree?
A small number of people. Oh, yeah. There's a small number of people. I was one of those guys five, 6 years that was behind those doors with Coach Tomlin. And a lot of that stuff really, I mean, that he says is stuff that he continues to say. Maybe he says it a little differently, but those are the same messages and energy. And he's a great motivator and he's a great communicator. And he likes to repeat his messages over and over throughout the week. He has certain messages and themes for each week, and he'll continue to repeat those so they can beat in your head. Right. And he motivates you. You see on the video, you see TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith, you see Cam Hayward. They're zoned in on what he has to say. Russ Wilson zoned in. These are guys that are veterans that you think, okay, maybe they can, they got it. They know what they're doing, but they're zoned in on what Coach Tomlin wants to say and his message. It's super compelling. I think it's great for everybody to see on the outside what it's like on the inside and how they prepare these players and us to play the game. But Coach Tomlin definitely stole the show. That is not just Hollywood. That is not just put together a film. He is a master communicator and motivator. And that's why you see the team always, you know, he never loses the team. these guys will play hard for him. And it's fun to watch it now for everybody.
Yeah, he stole the show just by being himself. And the theme of the week, or one of them, was Herbig going against Zeus. He just kept pounding that home that that they had to go out and buy Zeus because the other guy got dog-walked by Alex Highsmith, Tomlin said.
Isn't that awesome?
And Herbig delivered, didn't he?
Yeah, well, he has three sacks in the last 3 weeks, sack a week. I mean, I was rewatching the film from the Browns game a couple weeks ago, and he had a sack fumble there, right? And so he's delivering. And so I think the excitement about having all four rush guys out in the field this game is going to be compelling and exciting for the Steelers. But Nick Herbig absolutely delivered in the pass game and putting pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, man, when I see that and I start to think, is it really realistic they could go to the Super Bowl? That's one of the things that makes me think it, because it's always been really a team centered, even with Ben. Centered around that the guys on the edge. That seems to be where it all begins. Yeah. Now they have not only two, but three. I can't wait to see it either this week. I think that is just menacing to go in with three guys like that.
We can just keep coming, right? You can just keep bringing the heat, and the guy gets tired. The next guy comes in, you know he's going to keep bringing the heat. And so, really, you're never going to have a drop-off. And listen, I think that Steelers, you brought the Super Bowl. I think the Steelers are a team that, you know, that could win the Super Bowl. Listen, it's about the team that gets hot, right? And you know that it could be a handful of teams. I mean, the Steelers get in the playoffs, and all of a sudden they build heat. I mean, they're 3-1 since the bye against division games and tough games and the Redskins, who are a good team. So if they can continue on this trend and having their arrow point up like this, they have as good a shot at anybody when it comes January ball.
One other thing that stood out about Hard Knocks, you know, they didn't get really, I don't think, deep into any issues, but the footage was spectacular. And Cam Hayward just wrecking people. The one hit he had on Brown at the goal line was like Jadeveon Clowney
big
in
time.
College. Oh, my God. Is he playing the best football of his career?
He's moving great. He's playing great football. Listen, and that tackle, I think thought he was going to block Cam on that. He tried to cut him from the backside, that left tackle, the defensive right off from the defensive side. It's the right tackle. He tried to cut off Cam, and Cam got up field so quickly, and just, I mean, he put that licking on Chase Brown. And another play, you know, not only the sack, but listen, there was one play when he was flying down the line, staying on his feet, the old fella. And he made this tackle. Chase Brown, if he didn't make the tackle, I think Chase Brown would have went for 10, 12 yards.
Yeah.
And just lit him up flying down the line. I mean, he's playing sideline to sideline. I think Cam's playing as good as he's played in a couple of years.
All right. Besides George Pickens, the other lightning rod from last week's game was Joey Porter Jr. Tomlin, I thought, had a very interesting sort of explanation for how they wanted to get physical with T. Higgins. Doesn't sound like he thought Porter played that badly, despite... I mean, if it was a basketball game, he would have fouled out. He had six penalties. What did you think of his game, and what do you think of his style and how it translates moving forward?
I think he's going to be okay. Listen, the guy's a competitor, and like Coach Tomlin talked about, it's a couple technical things that he's got to be better. He's big, he's long, he's fast, he's got the mindset. It's just cleaning up his hands. Everybody knew coming out of college, he loved to hold people. He loved to, he learned from his dad, right? He learned from guys, and he's been around guys that are friends with his dad that played DB in the NFL. And so he knows how to, you know, kind of do those veteran type of moves to slow down receivers. And sometimes he's going to get caught. The ones that were concerning were the ones that were in the end zone, right? He had two pass interferences in the end zone that put the ball on the 1 yard line first down. One time he panicked in the end zone and tackled T. Higgins, even though the ball was thrown over their head, because he was beat. And so those are moments where, you know, I always get in my head, Starkey, where Coach Mitchell would, I would sit next to Coach Mitch during film and we'd watch those plays, and Mitch would say, don't panic, even though he's the D-line coach, you know, but he would see a DB, and it happens to the best of them, right? It's not just a guy like Joey Porter. I mean, there are guys that are veterans that at moments you're panicking because I don't want to give up this big touchdown catch. I'm beat on this play. And so you go ahead and you tackle or you hold a guy and end up putting the ball in the 1 yard line and then score anyways.
All right, Hokie, we're going to talk more about this specific matchup coming up. I'll ask you one more question, though, as we go into a very brief intermission, and that is Dan Moore, who came back from a rough performance with a very good one. My question is simple. Would you at least consider trying to sign Dan Moore, keep Broderick where he is, and move Fotanu to guard because you're going to lose James Daniels? Would you consider that, or do you like McCormick and you like it the way it is?
I like that a lot. I don't think – listen, I know that Myles Garrett – I know we're going to commercial break. We can talk about this more. I know Myles Garrett had 3 sacks last game. I don't think that – I think they get to put an asterisk next – you know, two of them were on Dan Moore. But I think there's some things we can discuss as, you know, there were other things that played into that. It wasn't just one-on-one straight up that the sacks happened. And so I wouldn't say he had a horrible game. But if you look at just the stats, you would say yes. But I don't look at it that way after looking at the film again.
But that intrigues you, that idea, huh? Going after Moore, signing him for some money, and then moving Fotanu to guard. You seem to perk up on that, Hokie.
I do. I like it. I think Troy Fotanu can play a guard. I think he'd be a great guard. He's athletic enough. He can move well. Again, it doesn't matter what you and I think. It matters what Coach Tomlin thinks and Omar and those guys. But I think he has the athletic ability and the size and the mental makeup to do it.